بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، سلام على المرسلين. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وانزل المقد المقرب عندك. اللهم رب هذه الدعوة القائمة والصلاة النافعة، صل على محمد وارض عني لضا لا تسخط بعده أبدا. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك، وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد، وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد، ورحم محمد وآل محمد كما صليت وباركت ورحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم، وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم، وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم، وبارك على محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم، وبارك على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد النبي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذريته وأهل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم، وترحم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما ترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم ترحم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما ترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم تحنن على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما تحننت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم سلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما سلمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد، وبارك وسلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد، وارحم محمد وآل محمد كما صليت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك كما صليت على آل إبراهيم، وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم. اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم، وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد صلاة تكون لك رضا وله جزاء ولحقه أداء، وأعطه الوسيلة والفضيلة والمقام المحمود الذي وعدته واجزه عنا ما هو أهله، واجزه أفضل ما جازيت نبيا عن قومه ورسولا عن أمته، وصل على جميع إخوانه من النبيين والصالحين يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل علينا معهم. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما باركت على إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك علينا معهم. صلوات الله وصلوات المؤمنين على محمد النبي الأمي. اللهم اجعل صلواتك ورحمتك وبركاتك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما جعلتها على آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. وصلى الله على النبي الأمي، 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 وصلى الله على النبي الأمي. التحيات لله، والصلوات والطيبات، والسلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات الطيبات، والصلوات لله، السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات لله، الطيبات، الصلوات لله، السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات المباركات، الصلوات الطيبات لله، سلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، سلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. بسم الله وبالله، التحيات لله، والصلوات والطيبات، السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أسأل الله الجنة وأعوذ بالله من النار. التحيات الزاكيات لله، الطيبات، الصلوات لله، السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. بسم الله وبالله، خير الأسماء، التحيات الطيبات، الصلوات لله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا، وأن الساعة آتية لا ريب فيها. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. اللهم اغفر لي واهدني. التحيات الطيبات، والصلوات، والملك لله، السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله، التحيات لله، الصلوات لله، الزاكيات لله، السلام على النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. شهدت أن لا إله إلا الله، شهدت أن محمد رسول الله. التحيات الطيبات، الصلوات الزاكيات لله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. التحيات الطيبات، الصلوات الزاكيات لله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، وأشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. التحيات، الصلوات لله، السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. التحيات لله الصلوات الطيبات السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله بسم الله والسلام على 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 رسول الله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. So we will now briefly talk about the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And as we discussed it previously, understanding the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is necessary for anyone who wants to understand the Quran Kareem or who wants to understand the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Because it gives you the background, the context in which those verses were revealed and in which the Prophet ﷺ made those comments and he made those statements. So we were, currently we're looking at the family of the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ had four daughters. The eldest, Sayyida Zainab radiallahu anha. Number two was Sayyida Ruqayya. Number three was Sayyida Umm Kulthum radiallahu anha. And finally, the fourth was Sayyida Fatima al-Zahra radiyallahu ta'ala anha. And we did discuss previously that in terms of order, this is the order that Jamhur, majority of ulama, consider it to be. But there are others who argue that Sayyida Fatima al-Zahra radiyallahu anha was older than Sayyida Umm Kulthum. And they think, they say that Umm Kulthum radiyallahu anha was youngest of the four. But we did talk about this and we did talk about their reasons and why the Jamhur do not agree. And we've looked at this. And there's no need for us to repeat it today. However, we finished our previous discussion and previous majlis. We finished with this comment that is made by many about the demise of Sayyida Umm Kulthum radiyallahu anha. She passed away in the month of Sha'ban, year 9th after Hijrah. And we talked about the circumstances that she passed away in, and we talked about how her burial and her janazah was prepared, her funeral was prepared, how the Prophet ﷺ oversaw the process, how she was laid to rest. But when it comes to her being put to rest and her being buried, we notice that the books of hadith record a comment of the Prophet ﷺ, which appears to be something which is a bit strange, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sits at the qabr, on the grave of Sayyida Umm Kulthum radiyallahu anha. Her body is brought, and when she was about to be lowered into the grave, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes a comment that he says, "Hal ma'akum rajulun lam yuqarif al-laylata ahlahu?" فَقَالَ أَبُو طَلْحَةَ أَنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ فَأَنْزَلَ فِي قَبْرِهَا أَوْ فَنَزَلَ فِي قَبْرِهَا. فَأَنْزَلَ is the tabaqat. Ibn Sa'd has mentioned فَأَنْزَلَ فِي قَبْرِهَا, and so is mentioned in Al-Isti'ab and Al-Isaba and other books of hadith, other books of Rijal, other books about the lives of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes Abu Talha go into the grave of Umm Kulthum radiallahu anha, and he goes in there and helps the burial. And Uthman radiallahu anhu was not allowed. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam doesn't clearly say that Uthman, you cannot go in. In fact, he says something, is there anyone amongst you who did not sleep with his wife last night? And only Abu Talha said, Ya Rasulullah, I am the one, I did. And the Prophet I didn't. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructs him to go into the qabr and oversee and help with the burial. And Uthman radiallahu anhu doesn't. And this was the commentators say that this was because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was upset about something with Uthman radiallahu anhu. That night when Umm Kulthum radiallahu anha needed her husband on her side, Uthman radiallahu anhu was there. He was with one of with other wives. Tani kahenge, because he wasn't married. He didn't marry any other woman, but he was with one of the girls that her bandi, her slave girl, the slave. He was with her, and he was not there present next to his wife when she needed him. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was upset. So this is something which some say that this is something bad about Uthman radiallahu anhu. But the answer to that, which the Jumhur have said, that Uthman radiallahu anhu, yes, he did make a mistake. Uthman radiallahu anhu was not a Nabi. He was not a Nabi. Uthman radiallahu anhu was a Sahabi. And about Sahaba radiallahu anhum, our understanding is that Sahaba radiallahu anhum sometimes would make mistakes. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would rectify their mistakes, and those were pointed out to them, and they would instantly mend the error that was made. In this case too, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's beloved daughter, Umm Kulthum radiallahu anha, she needed him, and he was unfortunately not available. Uthman radiallahu anhu's excuse was that her illness had prolonged, and she'd been ill for some time, and he didn't realize that her time had come. And he thought it was just like a normal night, just like any other. And he had no knowledge of what she was going through, and he felt that he was okay. And momentarily, for a short while, he was away. But anyway, this did make Uthman radiallahu anhu upset as well. So it happened. It does not mean that Uthman radiallahu anhu was bad. It doesn't mean that he was committing something sin. It wasn't that something, it was an error was made, and Uthman radiallahu anhu was remorseful. And thereafter, he did not marry for the rest of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He did not marry another woman. This is what the Jumhur say. Allama Jalaluddin Suyuti rahimahullah, I think he's mentioned it too. And some others totally deny this. They say it did not happen. And others say that it's not necessary that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was trying to reprimand or trying to tell off Uthman radiallahu anhu. There might have been some other reason, and they give another explanation as well. The other explanation, they say that it was not necessarily a criticism to Uthman radiallahu anhu's conduct. It was just that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to teach ummat a manner. The ethic, the khulq, the adab is that the qabr is supposed to be a wake-up call. And it's supposed to be a wake-up call. And if someone was previously, so recently, he was enjoying with the dunya, the joys of dunya, they were experiencing them, then in the qabr, if this was a very special moment, the beloved daughter of the Prophet ﷺ is being buried, at the time they needed someone who was totally focused at the hereafter. This is another jawab, another answer, another reply that's given. They say that the Prophet ﷺ wanted someone who had done mujahada lately, just like people who observe fast, people who stand up in qiyam all night, people who've been doing ibadat. So the Prophet ﷺ wanted someone who, rather than enjoying their time, they were doing mujahada, they were making the effort, they were making the struggle. So the Prophet recommended them, and he wanted to point out that people who make effort and who struggle in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, and who do mujahada and make efforts, they are better equipped to benefit from the reminder that the qabr and the grave offers. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he wanted to set an example, and this was a moment in which he sallallahu alaihi wasallam set that example, because he didn't directly say a word to Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. Had he done so, then we'd have felt that he was upset with him, but he wasn't. So it was totally for the other reasons that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recommended that someone else should go in, and not those who were enjoying their time with their wives the night before. Anyway, one way or the other, what it makes very clear is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved his daughters. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he loved his daughters. Makes it very clear. He wouldn't turn a blind eye to his daughters if they were being abused or they were being mistreated. He would never do so. And the four daughters of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were all his, and he loved them dearly. And people who say, and this is the Jumhur's opinion, and this is subhanallah, and this is something, a point to note, is something that you brothers need to note, is that in the past 14 centuries, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now is 1445, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away 1434 years ago. In all this time, nobody has said that the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had only one daughter. Across the globe, everybody, especially in this, with the exception of past century or so, in the subcontinent only, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, that's the subcontinent. With the exception of some extreme Shias from the subcontinent, rest of the Shia from everywhere else, even the Arab Shia from Iraq, from Sham, they all agree that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had four daughters. They all agree. So it's a very minute, marginalized, rejected opinion. In the past 14 centuries, there's only one voice somewhere, I think in the 4th century, which some ulama have mentioned. In 4th centuries, this individual who nobody took seriously, he said that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't have four daughters, he had one daughter. But this people didn't even take it seriously, because people used to look at those who took Sayyidina Abu Bakr, who would treat Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman radiallahu anhu as not true believers. The Muslims would always ignore them. They were viewed as people that were out of their mind. Someone who they claim that if anyone claims that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Umar radiallahu anhu and Uthman radiallahu anhu weren't true believers, nobody would take them seriously. That is just like someone says that this is not 8:58 p.m., this is 8:58 a.m. If someone comes in and says, this is 8:58 a.m., this is the morning time, I don't think anybody in the masjid would take him seriously. What do you think? Nobody will. So similarly, when someone said that Abu Bakr, Umar, and Uthman radiallahu anhu weren't true Muslims, people never took him seriously. They just laughed at them. And they would just walk away. وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. Allah says, when the fools and the ignorant address them, they say peace and walk away. So nobody wanted to engage with people who held such views. So when someone said that the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't have four daughters, he had one daughter in the 4th or 5th century, nobody took it seriously. Everybody, they just turned a blind eye to it. They thought this was a person not worthy of being taken seriously. But for 13 centuries later, about 100 years ago, some Shia from the subcontinent and some extreme and ghulat, ghalis, extremists, they started drumming this view. In fact, there were books published from Lahore. Now, this is Lahore, the holiest of all the places. Lahore, there are some books published to argue that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't have three daughters, he had the one daughter. He had only one daughter. But as I said, this is not even it's a marginalized view. This is very recent. This is innovation. You can't innovate things about the past, about history. So this is the halat, and this is the state of such opinions. They are rejected, they are ignored, and the only reason we're talking about this is because many people do not realize. They go on YouTube and they listen to some mashallah homemade scholars, and they start drumming, saying Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had only one daughter, and they come up with these all marginalized historical reports, and people think that this is the mainstream. This is not mainstream at all. Mainstream, as I just explained, what did I say? Try to remember. I said in the past 14 centuries, okay, with the exception of 13 centuries, the first 13 centuries of Islam, nobody, with the exception of this one voice, this rare, somewhere in the 4th or 5th century, one author somewhere, he writes it, everyone agreed, whether they were Sunni or Shia, whatever school they followed, they all agreed that the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had four daughters, not one. This was recently, some people have started saying it, but their view is rejected and it's not worthy of consideration. So you've learnt about, then we talk about the demise of Sayyida Umm Kulthum radiallahu anha. She passed away in Sha'ban. She passed away in Sha'ban, and the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was present in her funeral. Now this is such an established event and so authentically recorded that the later days, recent scholars, they have used it to assess and to validate a report that Waqidi rahimahullah has in Sirah. He's given a date, and they say that they tried to evaluate and investigate that report of Waqidi rahimahullah, and they say that Waqidi rahimahullah may have made a mistake. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam set out for the Tabuk expedition when Imam Waqidi says it happened at the start of Rajab. But others argue that this is not possible. Why is it not possible? It's not possible because Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu and many of the scholars, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they all say that the journey of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Tabuk and back, this expedition lasted 50 days. Khamsina yawman. So this went on for 50. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was away for 50 days, and when he came back, then there was Abu Ka'b ibn Malik and a couple of other Sahaba, they had to endure this boycott for another 50 days. And those 50 days were during the month of Ramadan, subhanallah. So you can imagine what they must have gone through. But so when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrives back, he had been away for 50 days, then he comes back and he takes part in the funeral of Umm Kulthum radiallahu anha in the month of Sha'ban. They say it is difficult. It is difficult to understand that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came back from Tabuk and soon after Umm Kulthum radiallahu anha passed away, and this is not recorded as such in the books of hadith. They are recorded as separate events. The demise of Umm Kulthum radiallahu anha is recorded as separate event from the event of Tabuk. So they say that it must have happened, there must have been a bit of a gap. And if you say that there was a bit of a gap, then it's difficult to accept that the journey, the expedition to Tabuk started at the start of Rajab. So their argument is that it must have happened in Rabi'ul Thani. At least in Rabi'ul Thani. And then they say even that is difficult because Rabi'ul Thani was the month which, if you check it against the Gregorian calendars, Rabi'ul Thani was somewhere in October. So, and whereas we say that we hear in the books of hadith that the expedition of Tabuk happened at peak summer. This is why it's called Jaish al-Usra. And it was peak summer, the time when the fruit of the dates were ripe, and that ripeness happens in late August, early September. So they say it is even difficult that the journey must have started in Rabi'ul Thani. It may even have happened earlier. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was back in Medina well before Sha'ban or early days of Sha'ban. Thereafter, the demise of Sayyida Umm Kulthum radiallahu anha occurred before the month of Ramadan. However, Umm Kulthum radiallahu anha passed away about 2 years before the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When she passed away, at the time the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had two children left. One was Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu anha, and the other was Ibrahim. Ibrahim, the son of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Maybe now, before we move on to Sayyida Fatima, maybe this is the time to talk about the male children of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam had three boys. The eldest was Qasim, number two was Abdullah, and the third was Ibrahim. Qasim and Abdullah were born from his marriage with Sayyida Khadija al-Zahra radiallahu anha. And Ibrahim radiallahu anhu alayhi salam, some ulama say, he was born from Maria Qibtiya radiallahu ta'ala anha. So the first son of that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had was Qasim, who was, some say, the Qasim came before Zainab, before the eldest daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You recall when was he married? When did he get married for the first time? How old was he? 25. Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha. So they say Zainab radiallahu anha was born when about 11 years before the advent of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before him receiving the first divine revelation. And he received his first divine revelation at the age of 40. So Zainab radiallahu anha was born round about 20, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was 28 or 29 years of age. So that makes it the first child coming. If Zainab was the eldest of the children, then he had Zainab 3 years. The first child he had was after 3 years of marriage. 3 or 4 years of marriage. Others argue that Zainab radiallahu anha came second. Before Zainab radiallahu anha, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a child whose name was Qasim. And Qasim radiallahu anhu, he died when he was, some say, now this is very difficult because this happened at such early time when nobody was keeping a note of what was happening around Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi was, that some say that he was the eldest, others say that Zainab was the eldest. However, Qasim lived for about 17 months. Al-Bidaya wa al-Nihaya says that Qasim radiallahu anhu, he lived for about 17 months. Ibn Sa'd says that he lived for about 2 years. And this is because of him, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam earned his title Abul Qasim. His name was, so the child was Qasim. So it seems, if you take the Arab conventions into account, then it seems that Qasim was older than Zainab. Because normally you earn your title, you get your name from your first child. He could have been called Abu Zainab, but he's called Abu al-Qasim, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So maybe Qasim was the eldest. But it is equally possible that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, despite having Zainab before Qasim, he preferred the title Abu al-Qasim. So you can't just use this, his kunyat, his title, to argue that the Qasim was the eldest, because convention says that it is possible sometimes people to take their title from their second child or third child. However, if you take it as a norm, people give title from the first child. It could have been Abu Zainab, but he preferred Abu al-Qasim. So Qasim passed away at a young age. And Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha, she had the daughters, but since the child was gone, the boy passed away, Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha used to grieve from time to time. She would get upset. Well, once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came home and he noticed that Khadija radiallahu anha was crying. She was weeping. He noticed tears on her. So he said, What happened? So Khadija said, I just remembered Qasim, and Qasim made me cry. I wish he'd lived at least for some time. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Khadija, do not grieve, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has appointed for her a nurse in Jannah, and she is taking care of him. And then Khadija said, if I could figure that out, if I knew that to be certain, then it would help me find some comfort. The Prophet ﷺ said, if you want, O Khadija, then I can make you hear Qasim's voice from Jannah. Khadija said, Qasim speaking in Jannah and him playing in Jannah, you can hear his voice if you want. That can be done. But Khadija, upon this, she said, no, amantu billahi wa rasooli. بل أصدق الله ورسوله. I confirm the message of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I do not want to hear it by myself. So I do not want to hear myself. This is enough. I trust the promise of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this was the iman of Sayyida Khadija radhiyallahu anha, and she was the mother of the most of the children of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then Allah Taala granted Khadija radhiyallahu anha another child whose name was Abdullah, whom they named Abdullah. Abdullah, some say, it was also, others say his name, he had a name Tayyib and Tahir. And he was born after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam received the first divine revelation. So in that sense, with Khadija radhiyallahu anha, he was the last of his children, the youngest of all, even younger than Sayyida Fatima radhiyallahu ta'ala anha. So they say that Abdullah was born after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had received his first divine revelation, after he had he'd been appointed formally as a Nabi of Allah. Allah Azza wa Jal granted him Abdullah. But this Abdullah again did not live for too long. It is different. They say that it is we cannot, is the age of Abdullah, who's also named as Tayyib and Tahir, could not be ascertained. It is we can't find any report, authentic report, to say that when did he pass away. And I tried to check with some of the ulama as well, but I could not come across any authentic statement about how long did Abdullah live for. Some say that he lived for just a few months, but that's all. We do, how many months? Some even say that he was born before the advent of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But if you look at the names Abdullah, Tayyib, and Tahir, it seems that this must have happened after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam receiving his formal nubuwwat. Now, third of the boys of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was Ibrahim, who is sometimes referred to as Ibrahim alaihi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam, even though he was not a Nabi, but he passed away less than 2 years, because he's born in 8th Zulhijjah, 8th Hijri, and he passed away 10th of Rabi'ul Awwal, in the 10th Hijri. So that makes him from barely just about 13-14 months. So Ibrahim, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if Ibrahim was to live, Allah azza wa jal would make him a Nabi. But since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not want, he decided that I'm the last of the prophets, Ibrahim was taken away at a young age. Ya la ilaha illallah. There's a lot more about Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I named Ibrahim after the name of my father, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. And he radiallahu anhu, or he alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, we'd say radiallahu anhu, he was born from Maria Qibtiyya radiallahu ta'ala anha. Now Maria Qibtiyya radiallahu ta'ala anha, we'll talk about Maria radiallahu anha later, let us focus at Ibrahim. So he was born in the 8th year after Hijrah, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam went, he visited, he was there, and when he was informed, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told his Sahaba in the morning that Anas radiallahu anhu says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once in the morning he told us that last night Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted me a child and I've named him after the name of my father Ibrahim alaihi salam, and then he handed him over to Sayf, and she was the wife of a blacksmith in Medina Munawwara. She was from Ansar. Everybody from Ansar, they wanted to take care, they wanted to take the responsibility of looking after the son of Ibrahim, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They were in fact vying one another, they were competing with one another. Everyone wanted to have this honor. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam chose, he handed him over to, in fact, his son, his slave Abu Rafi'. Abu Rafi', his daughter, his wife Salma radiallahu ta'ala anha, She was a freed slave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam handed him over to Salma, and Salma was the wife of Abu Rafi'. Ya Allah. So there is. I think we'll let us finish, please. I'm going to take a few minutes of yours, and then she had him, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam initially. Abu Salma, the wife of Abu Rafi' radiallahu anhu, she had Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and she looked after him. But then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam wanted another someone. So as I said, the Ansar were vying with one another. They all wanted him. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam thereafter handed him over to the wife of Abu Sayf. Sayf radiallahu anha, and I just said that Abu Sayf was one of the blacksmiths in Medina Munawwara. And sometimes the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would go to visit his child, and the house Abu Sayf was a blacksmith, and sometimes the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would go to visit him, and Abu Sayf was as a blacksmith, he would have his furnace at home and he'd be working with all metals, and because of the furnace the house would be filled with smoke. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would yet go and visit and see the child and take care of the child, and he would embrace the child, he would hug the child, he would kiss the child, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would take care of the family as well. So Abu Sayf received the honor of being a custodian, a carer of the child of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was very pleased because of this, and he felt quite honored. And then the Prophet it is said that before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam received the news of the birth of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ibrahim radiallahu anhu, the first person to greet him, even before anyone else from earth greeted him, was Jibreel alayhi salam. So Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came and he said, Ya Rasulullah, he gave him Mubarak, he congratulated him, and he said, Assalamu alayka ya Aba Ibrahim. Now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't realize, so Ibrahim, so he informed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Allah azza wa had granted him Ibrahim, and that the child's name was meant to be Ibrahim. So because of the recommendation of Jibreel alaihi salatu wasalam and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, his desire, he named him Ibrahim. Now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would go and spend time at Abu Sayf's house, and the child lived with them until the child was about 12 or 13 months of age, and then once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in the masjid, and he was informed about Ibrahim's breathing last, so he rushed this time. He rushed to the house of Abu Sayf, and there he found Ibrahim was breathing last. So he took Ibrahim alaihi salam radiallahu anhu, and then he started weeping. And the tears were rolling from the cheeks of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Aansu aap sallallahu alaihi wasallam ki aankhon se jari ho gaye. Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu was with him, and he saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam weeping because of the child. So he said, Ya Rasulullah, what is this? And he said, this is mercy. And the child was breathing last, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the time, he was overwhelmed with pain. So he made a comment which has now established, has become a sunnah. So you would frequently hear when someone passes away, this phrase is quoted. إِنَّ الْعَيْنَ تَدْمَعْ وَالْقَلْبَ يَحْزُنْ وَلَا نَقُولُ إِلَّا مَا يُرْضِي رَبَّنَا وَإِنَّا بِفِرَاقِكَ يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ لَمَحْزُونُونَ. So this gets frequently quoted now. When someone passes away, you would hear people say this. إِنَّ الْعَيْنَ تَدْمَعْ, the eye is shedding tears, and the heart is in pain and grieving, and we won't say except that which pleases our Lord, and surely we are grieving over your loss, O Ibrahim. تو آنکھ آنسو بہاتی ہیں, دل کو رنج ہوتا ہے, مگر زبان سے ہم وہی کہتے ہیں جو ہمارے رب کو بھاتا ہے, بے شک اے ابراہیم تیری جدائی سے ہم غمگین ہیں. And then it is said, there's a narration which says that the Prophet صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم thereafter, as he came out, he looked at a mountain and he said, O mountain, if this tragedy, the tragedy that has befallen us, had it been put on you, then I'm sure that you would just break into pieces. But then he said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And that Usama radiallahu anhu, you know Usama. Usama is the son of Zayd ibn Haritha, and Zayd was once he was like a son of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Zayd ibn Haritha. So Usama was like a grandchild of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. Usama was round about, at the time must be 15, 16 years of age. As we notice that Usama was helping in the burial of whom? In one of the daughters, I think it was Ruqayya radiallahu anha. So he was helping there as well. So Usama radiallahu anhu, you need to remember the name of Usama, because you'd frequently come across the name of Usama ibn Zayd in the books of hadith and in the books of tafsir. So if you know who Usama was, he was very close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They say Usama wept quite loud, because Usama radiallahu anhu used to come and play with his brother. You could say like not a brother, was like an uncle, you would say, because he was Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim was the son of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Usama's dad was like treated like a son of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Usama was like a member of the household, member of the family, and he was about 15 years of age. And when he heard about the demise of Ibrahim, Usama was really struck with the tragedy, and he started weeping loud and he wailed. The Prophet ﷺ immediately stopped him. He said, no, this is not that, you can't do this. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I can see you crying as well. You're in tears. I can see tears rolling down on your cheeks and rolling down your eyes. So why do you stop me? The Prophet ﷺ said that weeping, shedding tears is a manifestation, is an indication of having a soft heart. But wailing and screaming and raising voice, this is one of the acts of shaitan. So you're allowed to weep, you're allowed to shed tears, but not wail, not scream, not yell. Then the Prophet ﷺ gave instructions that the child should be prepared, given shroud, and then he said, after you've given the shroud to the child, make sure you bring it to me. And then the child was brought to the Prophet ﷺ. When he was brought to the Prophet ﷺ, the Prophet ﷺ embraced the child and he hugged the child and he was weeping. قال له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تدرجوه في أكفانه حتى أنظر إليه فأتاه فانكب عليه وبكى. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم wept. وبكى المسلمون حتى ارتفعت الصوت. Some say that Muslims around him, they also wept, and some say that even the weeping was louder. And then there are others. I said that he was about 13 or 14 months of, he lived for 13, 14 months. There's a narration that says that he lived for 18 months. There's another narration that says he lived for 16 months. And one says that he lived for 24 months. Anyway, it was the demise was exactly a year before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's demise. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away in the year 11th of Hijrah on the 12th of Rabi'ul Awwal. Ibrahim radiallahu anhu passed away exactly almost a year before, on the 10th of Rabi'ul Awwal, in the year 10th after Hijrah. And that's the day when a solar eclipse took place. Some people started saying that the sun has eclipsed because of the demise of Ibrahim. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was informed, he said, إِنَّ الشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ لَا يَنْخَسِفَانِ لِمَوْتِ أَحَدٍ وَلَا لِحَيَاتِهِ. That فَإِذَا رَأَيْتُمُوهَا فَكَبِّرُوا وَدْعُوا اللَّهَ وَصَلُّوا وَتَصَدَّقُوا يَا أُمَّةَ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. That the sun and the moon, they are the signs from Allah's sign. They do not eclipse. because of the death of someone or nor for someone's life. So when you see them eclipse, then raise, then pronounce takbir, pronounce greatness of Allah Azza wa Jal, and make dua to Allah Azza wa Jal, and perform salah and give charity to Ummat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led the salatul janazah of Ibrahim radiallahu anhu, and he said four takbirs, Allahu Akbar. Now these four takbirs were in the janazah of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam as well. Anyway, this is not the time. And then Ibrahim radiallahu anhu was buried in Jannatul Baqi, in the qabr, the Usama radiallahu anhu, and Fadl ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. Now this is another name which is relevant. Fadl ibn Abbas, inshallah we'll talk about him in our next sitting. Usama and Fadl ibn Abbas, they both went into the qabr, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat on the side, and they put the mayyit down, mayyit in the qabr. And this was made closer, that the qabr was prepared closer to the qabr of Uthman ibn Mad'un radiallahu anhu. Now, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam frequently mentions Uthman ibn Mad'un radiallahu anhu. Who was Uthman ibn Mad'un? Uthman ibn Mad'un radiallahu anhu was one of the earliest migrants, early muhajirun. And he passed away even before the battle of Badr. And Uthman ibn Mad'un radiallahu ta'ala anhu made the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cry when he passed away. And frequently when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go to the cemetery, he would mention that Uthman ibn Mad'un radiallahu anhu, I think he's a brother-in-law of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. We'll talk about it inshallah. Bara ibn Azib radiallahu anhu says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that inna lahu murdhan fil jannah, that for Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has appointed a nurse who breastfeeds him. Bara ibn Azib radiallahu anhu said that fa inna lahu murdhan tutimmu rida'ahu fil jannah, that Allah azza wa jalla has appointed a nurse for her who would complete his time of yani breastfeeding in Jannah. And this would continue, and this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of Ibrahim in the hereafter. And then also Mawahib says, لو بقي قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لو بقي يعني إبراهيم بن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لكان نبيا ولكن لم يبقى لأن نبيكم آخر الأنبياء. If Ibrahim had lived, Allah Azza wa Jalla, he would be a Nabi, but he did not live because your Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم is the last of the prophets. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma says that mata wa huwa saghirun walau qudiya an yakuna ba'da Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam nabiyyun la'asha ibnuhu walakin la nabiyya ba'da. So same point repeated by Ibn Abbas and many other sahaba radiallahu anhum. So Nabi sallallahu, and this is something here, another discussion starts. He's the last of the prophets, which I don't think our subject for now. Our subject for now is the Ahl Bayt and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So to summarize, so far we've learnt about the three daughters of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The eldest was Zainab. Number two was Ruqayya. The third was Umm Kulthum. Zainab's husband name was Abu al-As ibn al-Rabi'. Ruqayya's husband's name was Uthman ibn Mad'un, and also no Mazmoon, Uthman ibn Affan. And Umm Kulthum's husband was Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. Now we are left with only Sayyida Fatima al-Zahra, and her life is very important. And we'll talk about her inshallah later. And we also talked about the three sons of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The eldest is Qasim, number two is Abdullah, and number three was Ibrahim. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to benefit from whatever was said. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala abdika wa rasulika sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Ya Allah, pray for us. Say, O Allah, through your infinite grace and mercy, this little humble effort of ours, please accept it and make it a means of our forgiveness and us gaining proximity and nearness to your beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, grant us the true understanding of the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And through that understanding, grant us and bestow upon us the understanding of the hadith and of the Quran and of the tafsir, O Allah, O our Lord. Allah, fill our hearts and minds with the mahabbat and with the nur of mahabbat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Grant us tawfiq to be grateful to you for making us in the ummat of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, have mercy upon the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah, forgive the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah, take care of the ummah of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah, month of Ramadan is approaching fast. Allahumma barik lana fi Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. Allah, bless the month of Sha'ban for us and enable us to reach the month of Ramadan and enable us and give us tawfiq and strength to engage in the month of Ramadan in acts that are beloved to you and that are pleasing to you. Allah is zindagi ki qadr ki tawfiq de aur shaban ke mahine ko mubarak farma aur aasani se sahulat se ramadan tak pahuncha aur sehat afiyat ke sath ramadan mein mehnat karne ki jo tujhe pasand aaye karne ki tawfiq ata farma. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa sallallahu ta'ala ala akhir khalqi sayyidina muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in amin bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. I'm not sure about the month of Ramadan, how we should continue or whether we should continue or should we leave it until after Ramadan. Anybody has any opinion? I'm more than interested in listening to you.